In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
I switched it up on you. Many of you may know that I'm in school right now for a master's degree in family care and counseling through the Antiochian House of Studies, and I had to write an essay questions a few weeks ago. And the essay questions were analyzing St. Silouan and his particular experience with having severe headaches, and also he had a fishbone caught in his throat. And so I'll briefly tell you the story of the fishbone caught in his throat, that he prayed and he prayed, he went to doctors, and everyone, there was nothing they could do. So it was going to be stuck there. So he prayed and he prayed, and then he received what he felt was a word from God, and that was to go outside, to cough three times very hard, and told him how to do this, and that when he did this, he would see blood. Blood would come up, but that he'd be cured. And so he obediently followed through and went through and did this and received healing, you know, for that issue. In analyzing that particular story in my essays, I had to, there's so much as Christians that we take for granted that you wouldn't necessarily point out to an everyday Christian. For instance, there's nothing all that great about the story, you know. A guy who believes in God prays and asks to be healed and then receives a word and is healed. But as I deal with people and as I am myself, experience myself as a Christian, I've often found that those very basic things that St. Silouan did are not done or not believed. And so I had to analyze, and I came up with three things I wanted to share with you today that typified this faith of really all the saints, but in this particular essay it was about St. Silouan. St. Silouan prayed to God, which means that he believed God was there, existed. Now, most Christians you talk to believe that God exists. Most Christians I talk to don't pray very much. God's existence is a rather abstract thing to talk about or even think about. You know, in every word we say in the liturgy that describes God, he's so far beyond us, and, you know, his holiness is separated from us. Even the person of Jesus who became man is sometimes viewed in a very aloof fashion, as though he's very, very far away, you know, out into outer space, looking down upon us, and that he doesn't have much to do with us. But for St. Silouan, God existed. But not only did he exist, he exists and he specifically relates to us. That God cares about us enough not to just be the aloof God, the God out in the universe, the universal God who's everywhere present, but how all at the same time seems to be everywhere absent. That God actually desires to relate to us. And so, in this simple prayer, St. Silouan asks for healing. And this shows that he knows that God is there, and that secondarily, God hears his prayers, that God cares about him. This is the third point, and this is the one that could be emphasized the most in our time. The third point is that God loves him enough to give him an answer, that God cares about him enough that we can actually ourselves hear from God. And that if we approach him, not only acknowledging that he exists, not only acknowledging also that he deals with us, but that the prime way that we should think about Christ when we think about him, or the Father, or the Son, or the Holy Spirit, is that God loves us. In the gospel, we hear that God sent his only begotten Son who died on the cross for our salvation and was raised up on the third day. And yet many Christians, when they are in trouble or struggling or suffering, avoid God because God is possibly punishing me for my sins. God is so worthy and holy that I am unworthy to ask anything of him. How dare I bother the king, so to speak? And so we have an image of God that is often an aloof father, often an angry father, often a disappointed father, often a father who only really deals with us when he's correcting us harshly. And that's the image that many Christians in our society and many Orthodox Christians in this church may have floating in our mind. So what is very refreshing about reading the works of St. Silwan is that he emphasizes the love of God, how much God actually loves us. Now, today we come to the story of the centurion who went and asked Jesus. There's two stories that are given about this. One is in Luke. The centurion is a Gentile. And in Luke's gospel, the centurion does not go to Jesus. He sends a servant. And the servant goes to Jesus in Luke's gospel and tells him the story of the servant who is about to die at home. In today's gospel, we hear the centurion himself comes and he says to Jesus, "I have a servant. He's paralyzed. He's at home. Will you heal him?" Jesus doesn't know the centurion, and not only that, it is not common for Jews and Gentiles to mix. It's not common for someone like Jesus, a rabbi, to go to a Gentile house. And so the centurion replies to Jesus when Jesus says, "I will come and heal him." He says, "I'm not worthy that you should come under the roof of my house." Now, you could interpret this in two ways. One way is that, what I already said, which is probably the more correct interpretation, that the centurion is a Gentile and he doesn't want to defile Jesus, who's a Jew. That's probably the most basic understanding. Or you could also say that the centurion is humble, that he has a sense that he is not fully worthy of Christ's presence. Either way, we can note that although he is unworthy and although he can acknowledge that, it doesn't stop him from asking Jesus for help. It doesn't send him cowering and beating himself up because he's not good enough to ask Jesus for help. So he asks Jesus for help. Jesus says he'll go. This man is a man under who has authority. And is in his authority, he knows that he can send somebody to do something and they'll do it, as we heard. But he isn't just simply thinking about himself. He sees somehow in Jesus the power of God, that Jesus only needs to say the word. You know, think about it when we go to doctors, you know, the doctors who prescribe more antibiotics, the doctors who give you more tests, those are the doctors we like. Whether we need antibiotics or tests or not, those are the ones we like. The ones who tell us we don't have a problem are not the ones we like. But you think about it. Couldn't Jesus have pulled out a table and maybe performed a ritual? Maybe he could have said a long prayer. Perhaps he should have gone to the house, actually, and offered incense and done some various things that would show that God could work through him. But this man didn't need any of that. He didn't need any of the hubbub and the various things to prove that this man's prayers, that Jesus' power was real. And that's when Jesus admonishes him and talks about his faith being greater than all of Israel. This is what he is saying is a great thing. That even though he doesn't fully know Jesus, he can look at him and say, "Only your word is necessary from this distance without any ritual or anything else. You can heal my servant." And Jesus marvels. And this story sets up a context for a rebuke against the Jews. Now, there is a common archetypical theme throughout the Gospel of Matthew and the other Gospels. And that is that the chosen people have come, but they don't get it. And so people outside of the covenanted community come and experience the power of Jesus and come to believe, and that the kingdom of heaven is given to them, and those who were to inherit the kingdom of heaven lose their inheritance. This is the challenge for us to take when we ask. When I said earlier, when I was talking about St. Siloam, that we take it for granted, I take it for granted that as Christians, God exists, that God answers prayers and that He loves us, that He has a providential will for us. That is not something that we can take for granted, because we have to look at our own actions and see if we live our life according to those beliefs. Because faith manifests itself with actions. And the actions of faith show you turning in prayer when you're suffering. The actions of faith show you putting yourself in God's hands when you're in trouble and looking for His providential care for you. Believing that He can actually do something for you even though you're unworthy. And holding with a certain type of expectation that no matter how sullied you are as a human being, God can somehow speak to your heart and somehow speak in your life. And that if Jesus Christ was just to give us one word, He could heal the paralysis of our soul. And He could take us out of the malaise that we find ourselves in. So, those are the faith and practice beliefs of Christianity. And if we find ourselves with doubts and not turning to God and fearing His wrath and in various sorts, it behooves us to, well, you can certainly talk to me about it if you want to tease it out, but recognize that some of these beliefs aren't fully correct. There is nowhere in the gospel where you are discouraged from praying. There is nowhere in the Christian life where you're encouraged to condemn yourself in a way that makes it so you think that God cannot save you or help you in any way. It's just not there. Everywhere in the gospel, we put ourselves in Christ's hand. We turn to Him, whether we're in joy, whether we're in sorrow, everywhere, because we want His word spoken into our hearts to transform us and to heal us. So let the faith of the centurion be our example today. May St. Siloam's teachings have some effect in our life. And may God transform us so that we can no longer view Him as the stepfather we never liked. I like my stepfather, by the way. But view Him rather as someone, a loving, caring Father who wants us to be all that we can be, to be healed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Yes.